Today, this one day, this is the last day of your life, the only day you have left to live. Can you give up? Can you say, I'm not able to awaken to truth? I just haven't got what it takes to break through to understanding. Could you possibly be so resigned? No, you could not. Knowing it is the last day of your life, you could not possibly give up. What would you do? The fact is that you would not be content to die without giving all your effort to knowing your true self. The Dharma, incomparably profound and minutely subtle, is hardly met with even in hundreds of thousands of millions of kalpas. We can now see it, listen to it, accept and embrace it. May we completely understand the Tathagata's true meaning. I would love to be able to say that here in this dojo, four or five of you could make this statement. I have already clearly and unmistakably met with original self, original mind. How grateful, how joyful I would be. If you believe that you have had some awakening, you must come to me in Doksan to have it verified, to verify it for yourself, to give yourself license based on your own judgment. I have had Satori, is a serious sin among sins. If you have thought and stated for yourself that you are an awakened being, you must confess and repent from the bottom of your heart. From the bottom of your heart, drop it. There are those of you who have felt that to some extent, be it light, you've had an experience. Kensho. But it soon becomes apparent that you have not awakened to your true mind. It will be apparent. Everything is apparent, after all. The greater the deception, the more apparent that deception will prove itself to be. So really, you cannot fool yourself on this point. Whether or not you have seen into your true self will be clear and known. So please don't hesitate. Come running to Doksan. That's what I'm here for, if we can speak of existence in terms of a reason to be. Three long kyosaku have been broken. That reminds me of a rohatsu some 50 years ago, when I struck and struck and struck one practitioner. Out of deep appreciation, in the spirit of somehow showing my gratitude, somehow helping someone else along the road. As I struck, I prayed that someday, if the opportunity arose, that he would return the strikes to me tenfold. As the kyosaku broke on his shoulder, it flew high into the air, striking the high ceiling of the zendo with a loud crack. After Rohatsu, we were given the opportunity to have a bath. I saw this fellow come into the bath, and in the fog, it appeared that he was wearing red. As I drew near him, I saw that the place I had been striking him was swollen some 3 centimeters or so, and that it was bright red. I was still in my 20s, and he was my senior, but Dayan Roshi had given me the duty to encourage the practitioners, to encourage this man. I had determined that if he were to fall ill and die due to some internal weakness, that I would at once die with him. As I approached him in the bath, he turned to look at me. When he saw my face, he gave me such a smile. That smile. That smile. He was somewhat on in age. He was not Japanese, this fellow. Rather than shortening his life, perhaps it was lengthened, thanks to the stick. I don't say that out of conceit, though. I'm apologizing. From empty mind emerges the heart of a parent, the action of a parent. The Dharma is hardly met with even in hundreds of thousands of millions of kalpas. How many kalpas of this one doing, this one doing, this one doing? Kalpas, you may almost think of it as eternity. Even in hundreds of millions of kalpas, it is hard to meet with the Buddha Dharma teaching. And even if one should have the chance to hear the teaching, how rare indeed to be able to truly, openly embrace Buddha Dharma, to be able to practice Buddha Dharma as you are doing. 100 million kalpas, we can think of it as just one step before timeless. How very, very rare to meet with this teaching. The Dharma, incomparably profound, minutely subtle, inexhaustible, supreme. Shakyamuni Buddha, the world-honored one, awakened to this Buddha Dharma. This Dharma, vast and minute. Before he became the awakened one, he led the life of a prince. Yet he was moved to leave his home, his family, his son, his beloved wife. Why was he driven to seek? What was he driven to understand? He sought peace, great peace which is beyond conditions. It was not for himself that he sought peace, and it was not only for those near him, but for all beings. A cute little bug flies about happily. A bird swoops down and gobbles up the little bug. Siddhartha felt as though it were he himself who was eaten up. The bird flies away, happy to have gotten his lunch, when the bird itself is taken by something stronger, according to the principle of the survival of the fittest. We see it all around us. Witnessing this pain and suffering, Siddhartha, the future Buddha, could not be content to lead a tranquil life of leisure. Everywhere he looked, he must have seen suffering. Loss. It's about loss. We take things to be fixed, permanent, but everywhere we see loss. Take this human life, first off. Even if we make it to 80 or 100, that's all. We fall prey to illness and suffering, pain. Pain. We see it in human birth, aging, sickness, death. The first four of the eight pains. And there's the pain of not getting what you want. What everybody wants varies, but the pain is the same pain. There is the pain of being with those you hate. That's painful, isn't it? To hate someone, to have to be together with them. Perhaps you don't have this experience of hatred. If not, it's because you have gone through lifetime after lifetime of polishing the character. But then there is the pain of separating from those you love. Although you want so badly to guard and protect them, the time comes when you must part. That must be 7 out of 8 pains, 100 million pains. The more wholehearted a person is, the more sincere, the more earnest, the greater that they will be covered in suffering, the more acutely they will feel other people's pain. Shakyamuni Buddha gave us testimony to this fact. When an insect is crushed, Siddhartha must have felt as though he himself were being strangled. He suffered the pain of others so intensely it was his very own pain. And so Siddhartha determined to take on the pain and suffering of all beings, to seek liberation from pain for all being. He left home, begrudging nothing, holding nothing back. He must have left home in appreciation and gratitude for all being, with the intention to repay that gratitude. Yes, to save all beings. May all beings be free from pain. All beings interdependent, intertwined. All being is giving itself, working for the sake of all being. This is the reality of your life. So why must there be so much hatred and cruelty, so much grasping, so much sadness? Shakyamuni left home in search of freedom, to seek liberation from pain for all being. And you too are sitting here on your cushion with exactly that same purpose. I walk the path, Dokan wrote, I walk the path not knowing upon what I step. Please, pardon me. Please allow me to walk. Dokan's spirit is the spirit of your practice, one and the same. This is the vow which is awake within you. The vow which calls you to practice. If you look into the truth of one person, of yourself, you find that this one breath you take is perfectly unified, perfectly interdependent with all of life. Life, supremely grand and minutely subtle, is perfect interdependent offering. Thanks to all life, I breathe this breath. Together with all life, I breathe this breath. If you see into the truth of yourself, that's what you see. You can come to see it. You will. It will be very, very clear, crystal clear. So I always say that each and every person is receiving everything, receiving all of life. Each and everything that is seen, each and everything that is heard, everything. Isn't it a wonder? I am receiving everything. And yet, Will I have to lose it all? No. I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here. Was it Ikkyu who said that? I won't die. I won't go anywhere. I'm right here. But don't ask me anything, for I won't answer. Ikkyu threw his life into practice, breaking through the narrow notion of self and into rebirth. He was able to meet with the genuine face. Who is the genuine face? What is the genuine? Hearing this question, if you look off, imagining it to be another or elsewhere, you're still missing the mark. Truth is one, solely one. There is no separation. So all is well, all is goodness. There is no loneliness. Ikkyu was reborn, came to life in original, essential self. Then he had his say. He acted and spoke without reserve. One New Year's, when everyone was celebrating and shouting, Happy New Year, Happy New Year, Ikkyu paraded around carrying a skull impaled upon a pole. Look out, take care, beware, beware. This will be your fate. He was beating time with his stick, frightening people. It is cause for celebration. It is no cause for celebration. Don't be careless. This is the way with your life. Don't be careless with your life, for this is the way you will end up. Human beings can be so cruel, so vengeful. Our penchant to cause pain is grounded in karmic tendencies accumulated from lifetime upon lifetime past. We cannot afford to be careless. We do not know what we will do. Don't you see that you must open your eyes? You must awaken. When I die, I go nowhere. I'm right here. But don't bother to call. I won't answer. Yes, I am right here. So what are you searching for, looking off, trying to find? I won't answer to that kind of faithlessness. Ikkyu. Rohatsu is only this one day. Do you still hear the words and want to answer, we have several days yet? Yes, we do have several days. But there is only this one day. No, this one breath, this one doing. Please, your practice must be this noble, this urgent, this sincere. As a practitioner, you must lay everything down. You cannot hold on to anything. No, you're constantly receiving everything. Nothing is ever lost. Everything is fine. We can now see it, listen to it, accept and embrace it. Already, now, the prize is already yours. Are you still looking off? May we completely understand the Tathagata's true meaning. Everything is fine as it is. There is just only for you to throw yourself sincerely into this one doing, just only this. What is to be done, I will get with it. Now, I will do it. Now. That is the meaning of noble practice. Noble. Together with all beings, we attain the Buddha way.